Now, my text is in Colossians and chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. That's our text. Now, the church at Colossae, it's a prosperous city and a very pagan city. And the usual problems of the Christians being harassed by the pagans and those around them are making life extremely difficult for them, oftentimes persecution. But this is a desire by Paul that they might understand who they are and what they have in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Although they are beset all round by terrible opposition and temptations, and the world is tempting, if sin were not attractive, then they would have very little problem. Because sin is so attractive and so powerful, and the one behind it all, Satan, can make it so powerful that he holds really most people in his terrible grip. And they cannot release themselves. They cannot. It's impossible. And the only way they can be released is when God moves in their hearts and when Christ works in their hearts. It is only then that they are released. The whole is very powerful. Sometimes people struggle. They say, I do my best. I'm a good person, I go to chapel and so on. I don't do all the outrageous things that people do. I don't do those. And they try and say, well, it's a self-deception. It's genuine. It's a self-deception. It really overlooks the fact that they are sinful and where their future, terrible future, lies. So there has always got to be, it's a phrase in this book called the operation of God. It's more than church membership. It's more than acknowledging the truth. It's the operation of God. In chapter 2, we have these verses 12 to 15, buried with him in baptism. Now, he refers to that. He is referring to their baptism, but also the baptism represented, and perhaps it wasn't always genuine with some of them, but with most of them probably it would be, that they had really come to Christ. And that there was a change of life. The change of life, of course, is something that God alone does. And it's a very great and a wonderful thing. May become new. Wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God. Now, what he's doing there is using baptism as the threshold of when they believed. And also using that resurrection as a new life. So he's bringing both together, and both are true events, but it's more than the events here. He said the time you believed, the time you became a Christian, the time you became new, and then what did you have? A new life. And what he's trying to show them here is that it is the resurrection of the life of Jesus Christ in them. Now, what was it? What was the problem? Now, we have here these verses. If I may read them to you, still in chapter 2. And you being dead in your sins. That's the situation. And you being dead in your sins. Now, I don't know if there are any dead people here. There are no dead people as corpses, I know, but there may be people who are dead spiritually. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. Now, you see, it's something done to us. It's something that happens to us. Dead in your sins. And then God quickens. Quickening means to be made alive. Like a child cannot bring its own birth. It's very aware that it's a child, but it doesn't bring about its own birth. And we can be about the things of God, but we cannot bring about our spiritual birth. It is God who does that. And here we are quickened together with him. And in that event, having forgiven you all trespasses, now this is referring to the cross, blotting out, it's a wonderful thought, there's that sin blotted out. There's that sin blotted out. Stop giving a list. Just bring yourself as you are, a sinner. Blot it out. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's what he's done. He's taken your sins. They're blotted out. Oh, he's got them. But he's nailed them to the cross, meaning he has paid the penalty for them. So he's reminding them of those things. And then, but he says also, are you aware that a very great miracle took place? And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You see, God is saying to them through Paul, in that time that you believed, in that time, you are brought out to something, not just death. You might say, if you were just dead, it would be very convenient. There would be no feeling or response or anything, neither in this life or the next. But he says, not just from death. It was living death. You had a master. All the powers of evil held you. Satan held you. So he's saying, what I did here, he says, having spoiled, I spoiled his plans, principalities and powers, and I exposed them, and I triumphed over them. So when we think then our conversion, that's why it's so foolish just to say, I committed my life, I gave my heart in a light-hearted fashion. It's a much greater thing than that. It's a tremendous upheaval of the total personality. Because of the depth of the soul, we are brought out of the most dreadful, horrible pits of the hold of Satan. That's what we are brought out of. However nice we are, that's what we are brought out of. And we are brought out of then into a place of acceptance with God, the forgiveness of sins, and a place in glory. Now, that's briefly the introduction. So he's talking to people who have known that great miracle in their lives, who've known that. Now then, what should it be like then? Well, let me talk about that. The first little heading is the power of Christ. There's an if here. The first word in my text is if. So he's not taking it for granted. If he then be risen with Christ. If that is true, if you are no longer spiritually dead, if there's been a threshold when you believed, if you laid aside those things and you're following me, if that miracle has taken place and your sins are forgiven, if you then be risen with Christ, this is what you ought to be from now on. So really, it's a very powerful thing. If you then be risen with Christ. Now then, what does this mean? It doesn't mean an actual resurrection like his, but it is really the power that God practiced or exercised in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his son, is the same power that brings us from the power of hell. It's the same power that can work in our lives. So we can call it the resurrection power. You know, Paul said once, if I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, not when I die and go to heaven, but now, the power of his resurrection. And he's asking, do you practice that? If you then be risen with Christ. Now, he resumes in chapter 2, we have these verses, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. Now, the old man is buried, finished with, and you are new. And you'll find in verse 10 here, now having put on the new man, it's not a change of, it's still you, but you're like a new man, because you are new in a way. If any man be in Christ is a new creature, all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And I put on the new man. That is, what he's saying is, you are new, but be what you are. So many of them were new men, But there were rocking chairs, Christians, comfortably rocking, doctrinally sound, and very, very happy in the promises of God, but inactive and just lazy, really. And he said, "No, look, you're new. And this is just something that should be vibrant and powerful in you, not something you can just enjoy and sit back. I am new. I have the resurrection life of Christ. How lovely." He said, "It's not that. We live in a wickedly active, wicked world. And so we must be active resurrection Christians." That's what he's saying. This is a very powerful thing. And we should know this whenever the old man is dead and he was here. We possess within ourselves the life of the resurrection. I now, you there, possess within yourselves something that you may not be using. The power of the resurrection. Have you thought of that now? You may not be using it. The power of the resurrection. And we should use it in an ever-increasing degree. Overcoming things. You know, overcoming. It's so easy to be a Christian and going round in circles and circles and circles, you know, and not going forward. Now, what is this resurrection life? It is union with Christ. We go along with him. It's union with the exalted Christ. It transforms our entire life. Our minds are affected and changed. Our hearts, the center of our being is changed. Our will and our determinations are changed. Now then, well, Paul said, I've quoted already, this is what I want, he said, that I may know him. I want to know him well. I say, well, yes, I know him. No, no, it's not enough for me, he said. Yes, I know whom I believe. That is true. But I want more than that. I want to know him well. You can say to about a person, yes, I'm their friend. I don't meet them very often, so you don't know them well. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So I want in my life, says Paul, what I want for you is more and more of the knowledge of God and the resurrection power. Now, there's a relationship now. That is our position. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That the resources are immense. They are without measure. They really are without measure. And we must learn to draw on them. Now, this is where our problems come, you know. This is why sometimes we are unhappy. This is why sometimes we grumble. This is why sometimes we murmur. This is why sometimes we criticize. This is why sometimes we find fault. All the various whole bag of tricks of those dreadful things, you know, is because we are not drawing on the resources of God's grace. If only we would. If only we would. I'll give you examples like this. You feel a bit annoyed about something. Turn away, draw on the resources. You feel worried about something. Put it aside. Draw on the resources. He's pleading with them to draw on the resources. The hymn I often quote, and you know it well. He giveth more grace to them when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction, he added his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. Now then, his love has no limit. I can't love there. Of course you can. Not your own love, but his. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. You see what I'm saying? He's telling them, look, he's saying to the Colossian Christians, some of them are saying, oh, I've had an awful day. I've been insulted twice as I walked the way home. And then some of the children say, some of the other children are beating us up on the way home because we're children of Christians. They could say like that. But rather than say, now look, come now, let's come together and let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and let us draw on the vast resources and not be angry and grumble about all these things, but rather saying, we are privileged people. Our destination is glory. We belong to God. So to learn to draw on the resources of God's grace. That's the big aim he has here. If he then be risen with Christ. Now then, seek those things which are above. Now, you see, he's going step by step. First of all, if you have the experience at all, if you are new in Christ, if you know of the resurrection life in Christ, and you already have started, and when you do, you say, oh, why? He's helped me before. Why can't he help me now? So draw and draw. So he says, do that. Now, if that is true, I want you to do something else. If he then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, where is Christ? On the right hand of God. So now we have the pursuits of things above. Now then, what are these things? And what does seek mean? It doesn't mean I'll have a look in a minute. It means it possesses your whole life. In every situation, certainly in a conversation, you might say to yourself, is this worthy? Is this worthy? Or am I behaving as I was before I was converted or as an early Christian? Am I not moving? Is this what I ought to be? Is this what I ought to say? Is this what my attitude should be? So it's an active thing that takes hold of you, and you must say, well, yes, work on then, Lord. Come on, make me, that I might seek thee with all my heart. Not a part-time Christian, not part-time love, not part-time forgiving, not part-time patience, but so-so. Now, to do that, you've got to draw on the resources of God. You've got to. You know, we have our moans and our groans and our grumbles and all the rest of it, you know. But you've got to draw on the resources of God to do that. And all I'm saying here is, do it. As simple as that, do it and get on with it. Seek those things that are above. So very easy, you know, to just rock away in a rocking chair. Now then, seek those things which are above. There will be all sorts of things to stop us doing this. Satan will do anything to hinder a Christian. He'll do anything to spoil a church, of course. He'll do anything to spoil the work of God. And he's done a pretty dreadful, a good, dreadful job in England and Wales and Scotland today, you know. But when miracles can happen, it can change again. He's very powerful, and don't think that he's not. He is. So he entices, why should you go on? You're going to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. Why worry? Take it easy. Don't put yourself out. I got a lot of that in my life. I always believed in working hard. And if I met some ministers, the fraternal, they say, you're doing too much. What they meant was, we're not doing anything or doing very little. You're doing too much. You better watch your health. And I can remember once on occasion, and I must tell you this, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was preaching in a Welsh church, a big church in Llanelli. And I went to it, of course, and he was there, and there were about seven or eight ministers, and they were giving him advice. And they were saying, Martin, you know, you're doing far too much. At your age now, in your heart, you know. Oh, well, he was a heart specialist, you see. He knew more than they did. You're doing far too much. Why are they saying that? Because he was showing them up. That's why. That's why. And that's why he wasn't so popular with them. Or in a boat race, you know. Just imagine how these Cambridge and Oxford things, you know, rowing away. And you have to have somebody to encourage. All right, that's the work of a minister. He might say, come on now. You know, work harder. I don't know what the words you use, pull out, whatever they are. You know, get on with it, you know, get on with it. And supposing somebody says to the back of, oh, I'm tired. My arms are aching. Why should I? Why should I? The speed of a boat is the speed of the slowest. All right? The advance of a class is the advance of the slowest. It's like that. So we must pull together. I have a responsibility, not only for myself, but for the congregation I'm in and for the Christian faith. I have a responsibility to be active. Now, God is a sovereign, active God, and we are also forgiven, active Christians. Active. Now, that means it is a total commitment. Now, what are these things which are above? Seek those things which are above. Now, this means now that you have to work pretty hard on them. I'll give you the list. Tenderness. Are you a tender-hearted person? Why not? Kindness. It's easy to be kind with people you like. The people you haven't got much to say for, you're kind to them. You know, you may only have that one opportunity to be kind to them. You're kind to them. That's a test. It's quite easy to love your father and mother and your children and your friends. That's no big deal. The Gentiles do that. But to those that you seldom think about, and you look at them, I haven't said a kind word to that person for years. Do it. Do it. Tenderness, kindness, loneliness or humility of mind. You can say, well, I'm a humble person. Well, maybe you are. But humility of mind is a powerful thing. It means you don't think too highly of yourself. And you esteem all others better than yourself. In other words, you know your size. All I am is a forgiven sinner. I know I told you this before, but it's a good place to say it. Dr. Lloyd-Jones' last words to me, because I was taking his funeral, I didn't know he was going to die just then. He said, don't forget, all I am is a forgiven sinner. And I know he meant it, you know. He never said that he didn't mean. All I am is a forgiven sinner. And all you are, if you're Christians here today, all you are is a forgiven sinner. So don't be conceited, but be grateful. Be grateful. Don't glory in yourself, but glory in Christ. Lowliness of mind. That's where it damages. Lowliness of mind. Meekness. Long suffering. That's difficult sometimes. When you say, well, this person's tried my patience. I've got to the end of my patience. No, you haven't. You draw on the resurrection life of Christ. Long suffering, patience, a forgiving spirit, and love. The most difficult of them all. We can like, we can be kind, we can be thoughtful. But no love. You can shower gifts, you can shower money, you can do all those things, but no love. And if there's no love, there's nothing. There's nothing. So he's saying here, seek, work hard on these things. Yes, but I'm pretty pathetic. Of course you're pathetic, he said. Learn to draw from me, the Lord is saying. You know, seek those things. If you be risen with Christ, draw. I'm on the right hand of God, he said. I'm interceding for you. Draw on the vast resources I have for you here, and that you may obtain them. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. They are there for you. There they are, sitting on the shelf, waiting for you, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And what is he doing for you? He's praying for you. And what does he want you to do? To ask for those things on the shelf. More love, more tenderness, more humility of mind. All these things, ask for them and exercise them. Do you see the picture? And exercise them. The place of affections. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and then set your affections for things which are above. That's quite something, isn't it? Set your affections on things above. Then it says, not on things on the earth. Now, where your heart is, where your treasure is in your heart, you know, You can soon find out where you are. What do I treasure most of all? And if it's Christ, your heart is there. If it's something in the world, that's where your heart is. See, not Isaiah. So where's your heart? Where's the heart of your being? So he's saying here, set your affections on things above. Don't set them on things on the earth. It's a very difficult one. It's so easy to say, well, I plan to and set your affections there. Set your affections there. And nothing's going to come between you and having those things. Nothing. I know it's a hard one, because things can have a tremendous, tremendous hold. And you can't argue with people about it, because they'll only be offended. You can pray that God will turn their eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. Set your affections where, not on things on the earth. Don't look round. Look forward. Look up. It is a dangerous thing to walk or do anything looking round. You stumble, you fall. But look forward. If you're rowing a boat, if you're running a race, any of these illustrations, you look forward. You're looking forward to glory. You're looking forward to God. And at the same time, you're doing everything you can to show and to prove to yourself even, yes, I'm exercising the risen power of Christ in my life. This is something positive. It is positive. And it's something we can all do. I know it's hard, especially if we are really taken up with something and say, I've got to have that. Now, how can you find out it's something you're always talking about? That's where your heart is, you know? If you're always talking about that or thinking about it, that's where your heart is. So you say, Lord, I don't want that. I want to set. Now, this setting is setting my course. This is the way I'm going to go. And I'm not going to wander to the left or to the right. There's a lovely Welsh hymn that says, you know, that about the narrow way. That, you know, I would not go to the left or to the right. But yet, I cannot go half a footstep unless you go before me. So we trust him and we seek those things which are above in that way. It's positive and it's in the present and it's active. So that you're able to say, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. Now I'm asking you a question. Is that true in you and myself this morning? All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Yes, all right. But if you're not thrilled with his people as well, it's not really, you know. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than all the world to me. Not on things on the earth. He's the fairest of 10,000. That's what he is. See, that's you. See, that's us. You know, that kind of thing was so prevalent and wonderful at one time. Is, I'm sure, in many hearts still. May it increase. And I have to examine my heart. You have to examine your heart. Have I got humility of mind? Am I tender? Am I kind? Am I thoughtful? Do I live the risen? Those don't save me. But am I, as a Christian, exercising the resurrection power of Christ in my life? Am I praying like Paul? And Paul, you know, was going on with God, that I may know him. I want to know him well, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection now. Now. Not just when I die and go to heaven, and the power of his resurrection. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne. Not persuade it, tear it from thy throne. Just throw it and worship only thee. I have a hymn here. Ah, here it is. How vast the treasures we possess, How rich thy bounty, King of grace. This is Isaac Watts. You can well imagine. How vast the treasure we possessed. How rich thy bounty, King of grace. This world is ours, and world to come. Earth is our lodge, and heaven our home. Is that lovely? Where we're lodging. Earth is our lodge. We're only lodgers. If you're a big house or a little house, you're only a lodger. Earth is our lodge, and heaven our home. All things are ours, the gift of God, the purchase of a Saviour's blood, while the good Spirit shows us how to use and improve them too. If peace and plenty crown my days, they help me, Lord, to speak thy praise. If bread or sorrows be my food, those sorrows work my lasting good. Are you willing for that? Again. If peace and plenty crown my days, lovely, they help me, Lord, to speak thy praise. Oh, he's been so good to me. If bread or sorrows be my food, those sorrows work my lasting good. We're ready for the first two lines. Ready for the second. Those sorrows are for my lasting good. I would not change my blessed estates for all the world calls good or great. And while my faith can keep her hold, I envy not the sinner's gold. Father, I wait thy daily will. Thou shalt divide my portion still. Grant me on earth what seems thee best, till death and heaven reveal the rest. Now, isn't that good? Father, I wait thy daily will every day. Thou shalt divide my portion still. Grant me on earth what seems thee best, till death and heaven reveal the rest. Lovely. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things, if which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, he's got them there for you. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? If you want to seek those things which are above, and to live the resurrection life. Paul is a pretty plain and outspoken person, yet you can see he's not doing it. He doesn't preach or speak or write to please people. Their praise or their enmity or anger didn't affect him one way or another. What is important to him that he did which was well pleasing to God. That's the important thing. And us. Now shall we pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this glorious gospel. And we pray, O Lord, as thy people, that we might exercise what we have. And we have. All those who are in thee this morning, we have. Let us exercise these things. And let us examine ourselves and say, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me, O lead me, in the way everlasting. And to prove the resurrection life of Christ. That I may know him well, and the power of his resurrection, daily, hourly, and moment by moment, for thy name's sake. Amen. Now then, the hymn.